This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
And I am so happy today because I get to welcome back an author that I've been waiting to talk to. And as you know, this is Joy on Paper, a program for writers and those who dream of writing. And boy, oh boy, if you are a dreamer, this next interview is for you, because this is a story about a man who comes up. I don't know if he dreams up all these ideas, but he is so prolific and so fantastic a writer. It is really thrilling sometimes when you get an author on that, well, his mind goes everywhere, and he is really a lot of fun to talk to. And I don't know the exact count of how many millions of books he has sold now, but he has sold way 25, 30, I don't know, 40 million books. It is always so much fun for me when an author is able to grab the interest of children, because if children start reading young, I think it's so great for them. It is something that will last a lifetime. During this pandemic, I noticed the people that I associate with, for example, just in my building, the ones who are able to maintain a sense of humor and not be overly depressed, and many of them, of course, were not able to see their families for a long time, but they read, and they have been, there has been sort of this cooperation between everybody in the building. People are leaving books downstairs in the laundry room, and they're saying, these have been all sanitized, they're in bags, and just take a bag. And they have been sharing books. And I think that is so wonderful and so kind of everybody. Of course, I have tons of books. And I have been very pleased that I have been able to, give some books away, and also to support different charities that I do, particularly with giving away paperback books. So anyway, I'm not giving away this book, because this is so beautiful. It is called Foul Twins, Get What They Deserve. And Owen Colfer, it's so nice to have you back on Joy on Paper.
Patsy, how are you?
Okay, well, Owen, I checked out a few things, and everybody now, they know how to pronounce your name. You've made this name, this Irish spelling, so famous. It's really remarkable, and I think there are people in America now naming their kids Owen with your spelling.
That is like the ultimate achievement in my life, is to get people to... I remember in the beginning of my career, my agent said, you should just call yourself E. Colfer, because they will never get that overseas. And I thought, listen, if the world managed to get Arnold Schwarzenegger, get Owen Colfer.
Exactly.
But it took me 20 years it took to get that across, but I did it.
Well, you did, and it's great. I love this spelling. Of course, one of the things I love, and I wanted to mention, and you pronounce your last name Colfer, correct?
Yeah.
And I know many people, I've heard them say Colfer. I knew that it was Colfer because I lived in England a long time, and had a chance to, of course, to visit Ireland. And my favorite accent in the world, I never liked French accents. I love the Irish accent. I can listen to an Irishman all day long.
That's our cunning plan, actually. That's how we do it. That's how we infiltrate your country.
I know. And you do it so well.
Charm everybody.
Oh, you do charm everybody. And you are so you are so charming yourself. And, oh, boy, the new... we, of course, Artemis Fowl, everybody knows about it. There were 8 books in that series. And then you started this whole new branch of the family, with the Fowl twins, and this new book, Get What They Deserve. Well, it's fascinating, and I sort of you can explain how it starts off and how they have an arch enemy, and of course you made him a British peer, so that's rather funny.
My plan with this book was to come up with the most convoluted revenge plot ever. Now, there's been some pretty convoluted plots from books like The Count of Monte Cristo, where nobody can just walk up to their arch enemy and shoot them with their laser gun. They have to come up with a really complicated plan that involves stripping them of everything that they love, and also fooling them, humiliating them, separating them from their siblings, and ultimately destroying them. And the person doing all this revenging is Lord Teddy Bleedendry, which is a nice, funny name, and he is the Duke of the Scilly Isles off the coast of England. And he decides that the Foul Twins must die, but not immediately. They must die slowly and over 250 pages. And so that's what he sets out to do. And on that plot, they meet murderous goblins who hide out in a mortuary in London's Tower Bridge, where there actually used to be a mortuary. They are shot in a pod, which is a part of the London Eye, over the Atlantic to New Orleans. They fly their own jet to the Scilly Isles. One of the characters marries a ghost for reasons that shall become clear if you read the book, but it's to get out of being killed. But ultimately, they find out that in order to survive, they need to work together. And that is the message, if there was a message, is that the link between you and your siblings is so valuable that you must work hard in life not to sacrifice that and to hold on to that. Because sometimes it's trying. Sometimes that's hard to do, to stay friends with your brothers and sisters. But it's something that ultimately is very, very worth doing.
Well, I hope you stayed friends with your little brother, the one who first, who really inspired your description of, Artemis Fowl.
I did, and he's actually, his wife has just had a baby, so congratulations to Donal on the birth of baby Billy, named after my dad, who sadly passed away a few years ago. So, yeah, Donal and I are very close, and the whole family, we're very, very lucky that we're still friends. I think, like all families, you go through ups and downs and rough patches and parts when you don't talk over something silly. But then hopefully you remember that, family is more important than having hurt feelings. So you get over that and get on the phone and get back together.
Well, Donald is definitely somebody who is he's going to go down in history as an inspiration for how the entire look of Artemis Fowl and the way he looks very proper.
He knows that he had a T-shirt made up at one point saying "I am Artemis Fowl," so he's quite proud of us, which is a good thing.
Well, that's good. I have a younger brother too, and they do serve purpose. you have fun when they're young, and you can tease them. But when you grow up, it's wonderful to have them around. So I just love that. I always get a kick out of that.
Remember what their purpose is. So sometimes you have to think about it. But generally, they're a good time.
Yeah, it is, and I think that's a wonderful thing that you're doing. Just telling kids, pay attention and try to keep this connection going because it's important. And I think if anything, during this pandemic, people have realized it's really important to have your family. And so,
yeah, as you said, especially now.
Now, do any of your British friends get on you about this making selecting this a peer of the realm to?
My English readers and my British readers, they're kind of very proud of being the bad guys. And they love it when they're the bad guys in movies. And like a lot of the Marvel baddies are British guys, like Loki, and they just kind of, it's a part, they play it very well and they relish it. And they get a lot of employment out of it from the classical English actors. So I find they take it all they have a great sense of humor. And they take it all in good spirit because, after all, the bad guy in an Artemis Fowl book is usually very entertaining.
Oh, very entertaining!
I think best bad guy for me has always been Captain Hook. And of course, he's quite an upper class English guy. So ever since that, I wanted to do an English peer who was a bad guy in the spirit of Captain Hook. So far, everyone is quite happy with it. And they like it because he's very entertaining. So as long as he's entertaining, they are prepared to forgive me.
Exactly. Well, Lord Teddy, bleed him dry. I love it. It's very clever, very Irish. You are good with words, and your writing, of course, is always so much fun because you have a sense of humor, and I guess Irish people have just used that for their advantage forever.
I think so. I mean, I think Ireland has, up to 1980, maybe been a very poor country. And one of the few things we had was a sense of humor and charm. And we used that to try and just advance ourselves in life and professionally, and to be amenable and hardworking. And that has worked for centuries. And now that we aren't as, it's not as poor a country, but we still have the sense of humor. And I find that really works when you're writing fiction for young people.
Now, when you were a little boy, did you ever think that you would become the Irish Children's Laureate?
No, I mean, I suppose what I wanted to be was a football player. But unfortunately, I stayed a little boy for a long time. I never really got the growth spurt I was expecting. And so I was lucky enough to discover books through my mom. Who was a big reader and still is a big reader. And one thing, I mean, there's five boys, and my dad was a primary school teacher, so there wasn't a lot of spare money lying around. But one thing there was always seemed to be money for was secondhand books or a library membership. So we always had something to read in our family. And I think that is directly responsible for me becoming a writer. And it's the greatest gift you can give any child, I think, is the gift of fiction. And the gift of the encouraging in their imaginations, so they can go out and read more and enjoy more and understand more, because books do help young people understand their situations in life. Even if it doesn't look like it, if you dig down to the stories, you'll find something that they can identify with.
Well, today is, particularly here in the States, it's called Giving Day. And I think everybody, if you have a kid in your life, this is a wonderful, first of all, the entire Artemis Fowl series is wonderful. But the new book is The Fowl Twins Get What They Deserve. And they're Irish twins, Miles and Beckett Fowl. And this is, they have bizarre adventures in this book, that's for sure. And very, very bizarre in some ways. They travel, there's dancing buildings, there's dolphins, which, I'm here in Clearwater, Florida, so we have dolphins in our neighborhood. So it's just a fun book. The children will enjoy it. And I want to thank you so much, Owen Call, for being on Joy on Paper today. It's just wonderful always to talk to you. And as I said, I admire anyone who can get kids interested in reading, and you certainly have done that. I don't know, do you keep count of how many books you've sold? Like zillions?
I think the last official count was like 25 million.
Well.
So it's going well. It's going well so far, and I'm very lucky to be able. But my main, the main gift of success of that kind is that I can continue to write professionally, which is a wonderful way to make a living.
Exactly, and you can always you can treat people to a pint in your local pub.
Absolutely.
Okay, is there a website that people should go to?
Sure, they can just go very simply to owencolfer.com, and now that everyone can spell my name, it should be easy to find.
Okay, well, thank you very much for being on Joy on Paper today. It has been a joy to talk to you.
It's been my pleasure, and hopefully next time I can do it in person.
Oh, I'd love that. Anytime you're ready to come to Clear, we'll clear out we'll have you here, we put you here in the studio for 2 hours, okay?
Lovely.
Okay.
Before, not in the studio, but in Clearwater, so I'd love to visit again.
Oh, yeah, you have to come here. We have great weather. Okay, bye-bye now.
Bye-bye now, thanks.
Okay, oh, wow. Absolutely, I love these books. And this new one is called The Fowl Twins Get What They Deserve. And, of course, it is a children's book. And speaking of children's book, I am so happy to be able to talk to somebody who, Devon Miller, as everyone knows, Devon Miller here at Joy on Paper, finds these wonderful, wonderful authors. And he comes to me and he says, I found this author. You have to read the book and tell my listeners about it. And so I did. The one for November is called I Love You, Fiorella, Flaws and All. And I am so happy to welcome to Joy on Paper, Cindy A. Bell. Hi, Cindy.
Hey, Patsy. How are you doing?
Okay, great. Oh, this is so fantastic. I love talking to children's authors. Well, I was just talking, you know, to Owen Colfer. He's done pretty well with his 25 million. And I think that, you know, you have something wonderful here. You've written a wonderful book. And when Devon Miller sent it to me, he did a book buzz for you. You know, a little promo. We do these promos free to authors, for authors, because we want to promote reading, and we particularly want to promote reading for children. And he found this book. He found you. He searches, and he always finds really great talent. And he said, this is one of my favorite books. And so here you are today on Joy on Paper. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
Oh, well, you know, it's so much fun. Tell us about this book and a little bit about yourself.
Well, first of all, I'm very honored to be on your show. I can't believe I'm following the man you just interviewed. And to hear that you and Devon like the book so much just warms my heart. This is my very first book. This is my book baby, my debut, and this is actually my first radio interview. So I'm very honored to be on your show. Thank you so much. And I love the promo that Devon did. I was just so excited when I heard it. It was just kind of a huge surprise for me. And it just, I don't know, it was very exciting.
Well, you know, you have written a lovely book. And tell us about where you got the idea. And tell us about it.
Well, I've been wanting to write a book for about 25 years, and I've just always loved books. My mom used to read to me. My favorite book growing up was Miss Susie. I don't know if you've ever heard of it, but it kind of went out of print and came back a few years ago. But I've just grown up reading, and when I was in school for education, I just fell in love with the children's literature class. And at the time, I had a young child, and I've had two others since. I've got three growing boys, and you know, life got busy, and so 25 years later, one's married, one's in college, and one's in high school. I was like, you know, it's time for me to write that book. But I'll be honest, I never really knew what to write about. I would always have the desire to write a book, but I never knew what that story was going to be. And one day I was talking to my husband, and he was like, just go write that book. And I said, but, you know, I don't know what to write about. And he said, well, just write what you know. Write your experiences. And in his mind, he was just, you know, saying that. He didn't have anything in mind. And I went for a walk, and the story just came to my mind, beginning, middle, end. It was almost too easy. And so my son had just adopted a dog. He was in college, and we had had the dog for about a year. So she was a little bit the inspiration for the character Fiorella. But, and the story is about shelter dogs on the surface. But if you dig a little deeper, it's about rejection and redemption. And so I come from a broken home. And I'm the baby of five, and my dad left when my older siblings were grown. And so it was me and my mom. And he literally took us in his truck and drove us to my sister's house, and she lived a couple of hours away. And, you know, it was the beginning of a new life for me, the beginning of my parents getting divorced. And so that's kind of what the story's based on. I never thought that the divorce was my fault. And you'll see in the story, Fiorella thinks it's her fault. I know a lot of children do think that when their parents get divorced. But what I did struggle with growing up, and even now, you know, insecurities of not being good enough, not being lovable. What did I do? Maybe if I, you know, didn't do this or if I didn't do that, he wouldn't have left. You know, you have those kinds of thoughts. And so, you know, perfection is the enemy of good. And one of the sayings I also like is you were not born to be real. You were born to be real, but not perfect. And so through this book, I truly hope that it will resonate with young readers and even the parents, you know, that love is unconditional. Love has no terms or conditions. And that children that have been through divorce or foster care, adoption, any kinds of feelings of abandonment or unacceptance, I hope that children will be able to resonate with this and realize that they are perfect just as they are, and they are free to be themselves.
Well, it's a beautiful message, and you've written it so beautifully, and I think it will resonate with children and with parents alike. And it's absolutely so delightful to hear you talk, because I love your accent. It's so beautiful.
Thank you very much.
Oh, it's delightful. Well, you know, I was just talking to an Irishman, and I love Irish accents, but if I pick an American accent, I think I'd pick your accent, because it's so smooth, and it's so charming. I love it.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much.
So tell us about the illustrations. Tell us about your plans.
My plan?
Yeah, for future books.
Oh, I do have a couple of things in mind about Fiorella, but you know what they say, I just don't know with this being my debut book. I'm kind of scared to write a second book about Fiorella. I really do feel like this is a really good book. I've had a lot of great feedback. Not to brag, but I don't know if I could do something equivalent, you know. But I do have a little story up my sleeve. We had a Weimaraner for 11 and a half years, and we lost him last year. And I about a week after he passed away, a book came to my mind, and I sat down and wrote a few things down. His name was Mosby, and he was very close to my middle son. And my thoughts are him writing a letter to Benjamin from heaven, but do it in a way that's fun and playful, you know, but touching, you know. So that's kind of my thoughts on the second book.
Well, I'm sure that it will be great, because you have a natural talent. And,
Thank you. You
know, when that happens, and this is part of what I call the joy of joy on paper. Once you start writing, you really can't stop. The ideas will keep coming, and the stories will keep coming, and you know, it's hard to imagine, but you'll even get better over the years as you reach in deeper and deeper into yourself, and it happens, and it's really exciting. It's an exciting process, and this is the last day of November, and so many authors so many people have been taking part in NaNoWriMo, and they are finishing, many of them are finishing their book today, because this is a deadline. It is wonderful when somebody finally, you know, after years of dreaming about it, actually starts writing, and I think you have done a really great job. Do you want to mention anything about the illustrator?
Yes, I do. Emily House is wonderful. She is from England, but she actually resides in South Africa, and I found her on Readsy, and she was a dream to work with. We did everything through Readsy email, and then after we sent the PDF off to the printers, we finally had a face-to-face Zoom call, and we laughed. We were like, why haven't we been doing this, you know? But she is just wonderful. I love her style. She I think she uses Procreate, but she's also written two of her own books, that came out right before Fiorella, and actually two more for another lady. She's writing some Hindu stories for her little children. Apparently that's not out there very much. And now she's working on another book for someone in the States.
Well, I will actually get in touch with her, and perhaps she would like to come on Joy on Paper, too. But meanwhile, how do people find you? How do they get your book?
Right now, I'm just selling it through my my website, and that is www.bellchildrensbook.com.
Okay, bellchildrensbook.com. You can go there, and I think you have a December special or a Christmas special?
I am having a Christmas special right now. If you buy three, it's for $50 and five for $80. I know some people are buying bundles to give to the children they have in their life.
Well, I think that's a great idea, because if you don't have children in your life, I recommend to people, please buy a bundle of books in this case and send it to a children's hospital, to Shriners, St. Jude's, or a children's hospital in your area, because they need books, because they don't share books anymore in hospitals. So they need their own books. So if you are out there and you want to do something really great, order these books and have it sent to one of the children's hospitals.
That's a great idea.
Okay. Well, again, Cindy Abel, thank you so much for being on Joy on Paper today. And as soon as you have your next book, you'll be back, okay?
Okay. Thank you so much.
Oh, and listen, stay on, because we're going to play Devon Miller's Book Buzz for you.
Okay, thank you.
Hey everyone, it's Devon Miller, author and illustrator of the Mr. Tickety Tock Lock children's book series, reporting for Joy on Paper with the latest on children's book buzz. November is here, and it's known as a time to give thanks for all that we have. And in the story of I Love You, Fiorella, Flaws and All, the main characters were thankful and happy for the life they had, but one day, the life they knew had changed. Written by Cindy A. Bell and illustrated by Emily House, I Love You, Fiorella, Flaws and All tells the story of Fiorella and Mama Rose, who get left at an animal shelter. Because their owner left them, it makes Fiorella wonder if she did anything wrong for them to get left at the animal shelter. Inspired by Lucy, who's a very special dog within the author's life, the story explores themes that children can experience, such as rejection and unacceptance, but it also showcases one's unconditional love. The author, Cindy A. Bell, who's also a children's book enthusiast, believes that books can invite meaningful conversations about big feelings that children may encounter. Just like how Mama Rose loves Fiorella, I think readers will love Fiorella after reading this adorable and charming story. This is Devon Miller reporting for Joy on Paper. For more book buzz involving children's books and authors, head on over to radio-joyonpaper.com and click on Devon Miller's Book Buzzes. I think it's about time that I buzz out now.
Okay, let's do a commercial for EHS and... Okay, I think my guest is on the phone, right? All right, well, we'll hold off on the commercial for EHS. Sola?
Yeah, Cindy's still on.
Oh, Cindy, are you still on? Oh, Cindy, are you there? I'm sorry, I thought you were gone, but I'm glad you're here. So we still have time to say again, thank you so much for being on Joy on Paper. I want to make sure I remind people again, order these books, go straight to her website and order a book for anyone in your family, and perhaps buy one of the bundles and send it to a local hospital. It will be wonderful, a wonderful gift to give for this Christmas, okay?
Okay, thank you so much, Patsy. I appreciate it.
Okay, bye-bye now, Cindy. Bye. Right.
Bye-bye.
Okay, we'll go to EHS and then we'll come back for the next guest.
Hey. This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Are you ready to eliminate your home energy bill? Well, get ready to harness the sun. Go EHS, Effective Solar Solutions, by Efficient Home Services. With no upfront costs, you can save money on your utility bill and even eliminate your electric bill altogether with EHS Solar. Call EHS, the number one solar installer nationwide. We know how to customize your home. EHS handles every project in-house with no subcontractors. Remember, no upfront costs, tax breaks, and the best company in the business, Efficient Home Services. Schedule an appointment today at 727-353-3757. Visit our website and download your free buyer's guide to going solar at www.goehs.com. Go solar, go savings, go EHS. Call 727-353-3757 today to talk to our experts.
Are you an author, an artist, an inventor? Then you need to protect your valuable intellectual property. You need Larson & Larson. We have the experience and knowledge to help you with all of your legal needs, from processing trademark, copyright, or patent applications, to negotiating licensing agreements and handling litigation. The attorneys at Larson & Larson in Largo, Florida can help protect you. Call us today for a no-cost consultation at 727-546-0660 or visit our website at LarsonPatentLaw.com.
Do you dread being called on to speak at meetings or family functions? Have you envied those who can sway an audience with well-chosen words? Do you know that people who speak well earn more money, earn more rewarding careers? Gain the confidence to master any speaking situation. Toastmasters will allow you to find your voice. Go to Toastmasters.org to locate the club nearest you.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
This is Patsy with a Z, and I am back, and I am waiting. I'm supposed to have another guest, and it's very funny because the name of her book is Wish You Were Here, and I wish she was here. Her name is Jodi Picoult, and I am waiting for her to call in because it is a fascinating book, and I want to talk to her about it because, well, it's perhaps the first pandemic-y book that didn't upset me too much. Let's put it this way. And there's a reason for it, and I wanted to talk to her about it, but I don't know what happened to her. So, you know, you never know. This is live radio. So, you know, Ed, Ed knows, should know by now, we can always have just up and ready for me if I need a break. We can have Boxcar because I love Boxcar, which is a song that it's on my playlist every morning. Do you have a playlist? I would love to hear from any of you who have a playlist, and you can tell me about what songs you play in the morning to get you up and running. And I have actually 10 songs that I play in the morning, and one of them is Boxcar, but we'll see if I need it. But first I want to talk again a little bit about what's happening with Joy on Paper. It's been really exciting. It's going to be 7 years in March that I've been I've been here behind the microphone. I think when I started off, Big Ed wasn't sure I would last a month. Didn't know what I was doing, and I was so scared. And I was talking to somebody recently and telling them that, you know, I'm a very shy person. And she couldn't believe it. She's like, you're shy? And I said, I was very, very shy until I started Joy on Paper. As a matter of fact, I was always that person with the book sitting in the corner or sitting very quietly in the, you know, behind a palm or something, and listening to people's conversations and perhaps even taking notes about people's conversations. But I wasn't the one who was out there doing a lot of talking, in crowds. I could talk very well to people, you know, individually, but not in crowds. And I always took positions when I belonged to different clubs and different associations, and I always took the the job that didn't require a lot of talking. It was either organizing events or even being the president, because I discovered that you could be the president of a club, but you didn't have to do the speaking because you would always get a speaker to speak. So all you had to do was get up there, introduce the speaker, and you could be the president of a club and have all that honor, but you didn't have to actually do any of the scary part. And so it was very funny when I started this radio program. Well, first of all, none of my family believed I was going to do it. I didn't actually tell them until the week before my first program, because I thought they would be laughing at me and it would make me very nervous. Even I think maybe 4 or 5 days before the program, I finally said to people, well, you might want to turn on your radio. And they were really surprised. And I actually was surprised. And I think Big Ed in the control room was surprised because he knew I didn't know anything. But I managed to get through it. And, you know, it's going to be 7 years and I've spoken to over 500 authors. I mean, this is crazy when you think about it. That's a lot of authors. And it's been a great deal of fun. And over the years, I've wanted to do more and more. And I've been, you know, trying to expand the show in different ways. And one of the ways, of course, is with the book buzzes. And I am so, so grateful to both Devon Miller, who finds these fantastic. He has the taste of a born publisher. I mean, he could run a publishing company because he has this ability to spot real talent. And we now hitting number 12. He started at the beginning of the year, and it's going. Tomorrow is December, and we have a new book buzz coming up for December. And you can go to the webpage, radio-joy on paper, and check Devon Miller's webpage there. And we have all 12 of the books that he has recommended. And this is the time to give gifts. And it is wonderful. If you have any children in your life, check out his recommendations. And there will be the book buzz promo for each book, so you can hear what the story's about and get interested in it. Order books for your family, your friends, everybody who has kids. But also, as I explained to Cindy Abel, I think it's one of the most wonderful things you can do is to send a book to a children's hospital. Perhaps you can afford just one book. Perhaps you can afford, you know, a dozen books. You can start with Devon Miller's books. He has his own series, Mr. Tickety Talk Clock, and you can check out Devon Miller's books and order those and have them sent to a local hospital or to St. Jude's or Shriners. And we have Shriners here in our area. I send books to them because I think it's just a wonderful thing. Children need books. Devon Miller was very sick when he was young. He spent a great deal of time in the hospital, and books meant everything to him. And he started off reading and then writing, and he's been writing ever since he was a little kid. And this has just changed his life. And now I'm sure at some point he's going to be a best-selling author because he is very talented, and it's just wonderful to see. And then, so that was for children. And then for mystery lovers and people who love thrillers, Rita Moreau has been doing the book buzzes for mysteries and thrillers for now 2 years. And she's done almost 50 book buzzes. And that's so wonderful. So I'm just so grateful to her. And, you know, and then I want to cue up Big Ed. Can you pull up one of, I think, number 10 of Jim Lamb's literary gems? We'll play that right now because Jim Lamb has joined Joy on Paper and he is doing these wonderful, wonderful little reviews of important writing elements that people should know about when they start writing, and even people who have been writing for a while, they don't understand sometimes the terminology. And Jim Lamb, who is just a wonderful author himself, and he worked for many, many years in the newspaper business, and he has come up with some really great literary gems. So let's play this one, and then I'll come back and talk a little bit more.
Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, the Joker in Batman. Each is an antagonist. When it comes to storytelling, each brings something special to the table. I'm Jim Lamb. Let's get started. An antagonist represents a roadblock, an obstacle, a challenge. He, or she, or it, stands in the protagonist's way, keeping them from reaching their goal. Antagonists are often villains, like the bad guys who take on James Bond, Oddjob, Goldfinger, and Jaws, the towering assassin with steel teeth. An antagonist doesn't have to be a person, however. It might be an organization like Spectre, Hydra, or Chaos. Or it could just be a bunch of flying monkeys out to ruin the hero's day. The prime purpose of antagonists is to bring conflict to the story. Sometimes the antagonist is a friend, like Iago in Shakespeare's Othello. Sometimes it's a snake, like Satan in the Garden of Eden. Sometimes it's your biggest fan, like Annie Wilkes in Stephen King's Misery. Here are some other examples. Norman Bates in Psycho, Darth Vader in Star Wars, Mr. Potter in It's a Wonderful Life. My favorite antagonist is Harry Lime in The Third Man, but I also like The Alien in Alien, The Terminator in Terminator, and Bonnie and Clyde in Bonnie and Clyde. You could say there were two antagonists in Mary Shelley's Frankenstein, the doctor and the monster, because, let's face it, both were monsters in their own way. What about Herman Melville's Moby Dick? Who was the real villain, Captain Ahab or the White Whale? Speaking of captains, consider Captain Bligh in Mutiny on the Bounty, Captain Queeg in Caine Mutiny, and Captain Hook in Peter Pan. You might ask, why must our hero face so many problems? Great question. Here's why. Because a good guy like Sherlock Holmes must bump into a really bad guy like Professor Moriarty to find out just how good he really is. Know what I mean? I'm Jim Lamb, and you just learned a little something-something about antagonists.
Okay, well, for all of you people finishing up today, you have till midnight if you didn't finish your book, but I hope that you're just about done, and you can say, that's it, and I can submit my book to NaNoWriMo and be a winner like my goddaughter Kanisha was for, I don't know how many years she did it. She did for quite a few years. She's not doing it this year because she just had a baby. And the baby, you know, it takes a lot of work for a newborn baby. And I'm so thrilled always when I think about how she persuaded me to actually do it. And I didn't, you know, I'm pretty busy, and especially always around Thanksgiving. So when she said, well, you have to do it, and I said, okay, I'm going to do it. And so I participated in NaNoWriMo, but I had not the whole 30 days. I had to finish everything by the 25th, because that particular Thanksgiving, I had a whole lot of family coming down from Michigan, and that meant I had a lot of baking to do. So I took myself, I said, okay, I'm going to write a book, not in 30 days, I'm going to write a book in 25 days. And I did. I wrote 50,000 words. That's how many words you have to write for the NaNoWriMo. And that's what I did. And I did it in 25 days. And it was really quite fun. And the book actually, I think it's a darn good book. I haven't had time really to edit it too much. And now, it might be a little controversial at the time, 3 years ago when I did it. Now today, I don't know, you know, who knows what's going on. As I said, with the pandemic-y thing, everything's different. I might actually finish it one day because it's a fun book. But it was about an election, and I'm not sure anybody's up for anything about elections at this moment in time. So I will think about that. But I had the fun, and I have the certificate, and that's nice when you finish your book, and you're a winner at NaNoWriMo, you get a nice certificate. And the most important thing, it's what you get in your heart. You know that you have accomplished something. And that's the whole purpose of why they came out with NaNoWriMo. Because just like Cindy A. Bell, here she was, 25 years, she wanted to write a book. And, you know, the years go by, and you don't get any younger, and the years go by, and you put it off, and you put it off. And, you know, you're living life, and that's wonderful, but that's all sort of fodder for what you are eventually going to do. And so many authors do start later in their life, and it's never too late to start writing. And it's, you can, the wonderful thing about writing is you can keep going and going and going. You know, like that, that's a bunny rabbit who goes around, what, I don't know if I can say that to promote that company. But anyway, you know what I mean. So you can do it as a writer. You don't have to stop writing. So, but you do have to start. And so NaNoWriMo is for that. And I'm so happy that Cindy A. Bell started writing. She's written a great book. And I was speaking about Rita Moreau. And I want to mention that Rita Moreau has a special going on right now for the first two books in her Camper, Ghost and Camper Kooky Mystery Series. The Ghost and Camper Mystery Series is lots of fun. It's about a woman who gets a divorce because her husband, we won't say what he does, but it's a funny book. And Mabel Gold decides that she's going to drive a vintage camper across the country, towing it with an F-150, which is the same thing my brother has, and head off across America. And she thinks she's going to be traveling on her own, just following in a caravan of friends, and discovers that she has somebody sitting in the shotgun seat. And it is Irma, who is, let's say, she's no longer with us, except in her spirit. And so it's a paranormal, very funny, very kooky mystery series. Wheeler Dealer is the first one. And then you start with that. It's for 99 cents today. You can go straight to Amazon and order that book, and then get the second book, Murder on Honky Tonk Row. And because tomorrow, December 1st, her third book is going to come out, and that's Murder in the Badlands. So she's an example. She retired, and when she retired, she said, what the heck, I'm going to start writing. She wrote first one series, the Mary Catherine Mahoney series, and now she's really full steam ahead on this wonderful new series, Camper, the Ghost and Camper Kooky Mystery Series. It's really great and lots of fun, and I hope that you will go and check it out and get the books today for 99 cents. You can't beat that. Okay, and what else? Oh, again, my webpage, radio-joy on paper. Go there, and you can listen to book buzzes from Devon Miller, from Rita Moreau, and literary gems from Jim Lamb, who is, he's doing an amazing job, and we're going to have a new one on Thursday. This is what I'm always telling you. It's just so much fun for me to talk to authors, to whether it's somebody who's now, like Owen Colfer, who is now sold over 25 million books, or somebody who's just starting off, because you just find that joy, and you get better as you go along, and you're having fun. And the most important thing is you're helping people. You know, books really do help people, which reminds me of Nat Geo. I just finished the Nat Geo web page. My suggestions for the entire month of November when I was promoting Nat Geo Gift Giving Day. But of course, Nat Geo is something that you should be giving all the time. If you don't have a subscription to Nat Geo magazine, you should get it. It's wonderful to have it. in your hand, you know, it's not the same. You don't get the same feeling unless you have that magazine in your hand, and it's just $39 a year. So you can get that. And, of course, go to my website, and there are so many Nat Geo interviews that I have done because I believe in Nat Geo. It changed my life. Nat Geo changed my life because I was reading those magazines when I was a little girl and looking at the photographs, dreaming about the world outside of my little area of the world in northern Michigan. It's a beautiful area, and I love it, particularly when it's we had wonderful snowstorms, and it was we were all nice and cozy in the house. And we had actually a potbelly wood stove that we used to have a rug near it, and we could just lay on the floor and read and read and read all winter long. But it is wonderful to give Nat Geo books to your friends and family, and of course to have them there for you, because you need to keep feeding those gray cells and just keep learning and keep your mind active. And Nat Geo does that with their wonderful, wonderful books. And they have a book for everybody in your family, every subject that you can think of. They have a book for you. So I hope that you will check out my website, too, for Nat Geo books. And I have some really great Nat Geo authors coming up soon. And well, I just love, I get so excited still when I get a Nat Geo book. And what else? Okay, and I want to again thank, I wanted to thank somebody else today. Andrea. I meant to thank Andrea and George. They had a lovely, lovely dinner for me, and it was absolutely so much fun. And I hear that Andrea is I think she's going to be on television. And when she is, I will tell you about it, because Andrea has been here at Joy on Paper, and she is part of a library group and a fantastic, fantastic illustrator herself. And so I am looking forward to finding out when she's going to be on television, and I will let everybody know. But meanwhile, remember what I always tell you. One of the joys of life is to see your words on paper or to hear them spoken in an audible book. Or if you're very, very lucky, to hear those magic words, lights, camera, action, and your book will be turned into a major motion picture, a streaming video, or if you're lucky, a series on the Hallmark Channel, like I am hoping for Carol J. Perry and her new series that is based right here in our area. Oh, I love this series, and I hope that the Haunted Haven series will someday be on television, because I love that series. It's going to be so wonderful. And that would be wonderful if it was shot right here in our area. Oh, I think they should do more films here in Florida. Anyway, say something nice to somebody today. I will say something nice to Big Ed in the control room. As always, thank you, Ed, for everything. He was right spot on. Thank you. And he saluted me. I saluted him. Everybody have a wonderful, wonderful day. Bye-bye now.